Excellent. Well, it's great to be here this morning. There was a gap in our teaching series, and so I wanted to come and just see the life of Family Church Waterlooville and how things are going. But I also wanted to just take a moment to share some vision and some encouragement, hopefully some inspiration and some challenge. Because how many of you know God has big things on his heart for Family Church Waterlooville? Do we believe that this morning? God has big things on his heart for this area of Waterlooville. I know that. Pastors Chris and Sandy believe that. They believed that when 6 years ago we didn't send them out for bad behavior, but because we were full and needed somewhere to plant out to. And I'm just so thankful for what God has been doing. I'm thankful, and not just because she just said it about us, but for Pastors Chris and Sandy. And, you know, in this couple, I see a very faithful couple. And I see, give them a round of applause. We honor the gifting of God on them. And, you know, I see a couple who we were at leadership thing recently, and the person was talking about adversity quotient, that we need to have adversity quotient to keep doing what God has called us to do. And when I look at this couple, I see a couple who've got that in bucket loads. Because let me tell you, it's one thing to plant a church. You need to know what God has spoken. You need to have the grace of God. God's hand needs to be upon it. But you also need to be tenacious in what you're believing that God is going to do. So it's one thing to plant a church. It's another thing to plant a church and then a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic comes along and wipes out everything that you had been sowing and seeing and God was growing. And so to get back up again and to get going again, it speaks of adversity quotient, and so thankful for you both. But I'm excited about what God is doing here and the stability and the growth that we're starting to see. But there is so much more to come. Does anyone believe that this morning? How do I say that so confidently? Because Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. See, it's not really about Pastors Chris and Sandy, although we're so thankful for them. It's not about me and heaven. It's Jesus said he would build his church. Eugene Peterson said a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell would be able to prevent it. Jesus is building his church. And that doesn't mean Jesus is building buildings, even though buildings are great, but they're not the be-all and end-all. He's not building stuffy organizations. He's building it through the people of God. You and I, we know this, are the church, amen? And he's looking for a group of people who will bring his kingdom to this area of Waterlooville and beyond. He needs you to play your part. Now, instantly when we say that, we think, well, me, I'm kind of ordinary. There's nothing special about me. We look around. We're all kind of ordinary. Here's the great news. You read your Bible, God always uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in his kingdom. So if we're waiting around, waiting for some superstars, they're not coming. God is looking for you and I. We're pretty ordinary. That's okay. But when God's anointing is upon the ordinary, suddenly the extraordinary begins to happen. Amen? So there's an invitation from heaven today. Don't know whether you realized that when you woke up this morning. There's an invitation from heaven for each and every single one of us to play our part in being the church, in winning the lost, in seeing the kingdom of God come to this area and wherever he places us. God calls us to play our part. And I just think it's an incredible privilege that God could do it by himself. Let's get one thing straight. God doesn't need us, right? Sometimes we think, oh, God, without me, what would you do? I don't know, create the world in 7 days and have galaxies. I think he'd be okay. God doesn't need us, but here's the incredible thing. He invites us to play our part. He chooses to use us to co-labor in what he is building. God is building something. Jesus is building his church, and he invites us to play our part in building. Now, building isn't a concept that's strange to us, because from when we were very young, we were building. When you're a baby, when you're an infant, and I've seen a number around this morning, what do? They begin to play, and part of that playing is building. Right? Remember when you think back to, if you've got children right now, maybe they're doing this. If you remember your children, if you had children and they were younger, when they had stacking cups and they would start to build, it's natural within us that we like to build and then we like to demolish everything that we've just built. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about building. But they start to build. And then we progress from stacking cups to, I remember my kids having little wooden blocks and they would again build different things. And then we move to Duplo. And then once you've cracked and mastered Duplo, you move to Lego. And some men never grow beyond Lego and just want to remain playing Lego. And that's why we buy Lego for my kids at Christmas. Because I'm like, oh, would you like some help building this? Because it's still within me. But do you know what? We graduate from playing with Lego, yet every single day we are still building. In one way or another, this past week you have been building, whether you realize it or not. Many of you are building a marriage. Some of you are building a family. Some of you are building your career, your CV. Some of you are aiming to build for success. Other people are building their body. They're going to the gym day in, day out. They're building their body. They're literally, some people, a body builder. Some people are building their bank account or aiming to, and then it wipes out and they try and build it back up again. Some people are building a charity or cause that's close to their heart. Some people this morning are building a kids' football team on a Sunday morning, doing different things. Some people build clubs. Many of us in one way or another are building friendships. We are continually building, and none of those things are wrong. In fact, some of those things are really very good, and some will leave a legacy, but many won't. Many of the things that we're building for won't actually mean a thing the day that we go to be with him for all of eternity. Yet the ultimate question is this: are we fully involved and engaged in what Jesus is building? Because as I said, at the end of our life, so much of what we built won't truly matter. But what he is building has eternal value and consequence, amen? Yet the truth is, we'll only get that when we truly have a revelation of what church is. Because we've reduced church in this nation so often to a place that you go once a week, we sing a few songs, our spirits are lifted by something that's shared, and then we go home and go on with the rest of our week. Other people, they come to church, this event, once a week because they feel obligated to religiously, and they're ticking the box, and then they'll get on with their life, hoping that God brings blessing upon them because they turned up to once a week and a gathering and an event. Church is so much more than that. Listen, the Bible lets us into what God believes church to be. And if Jesus is building the church, if he's the architect, it's a pretty good idea for us to look at what he says church is. Amen? And he says that church is God's plan A for bringing his kingdom to the earth. He says that we are the bride of Christ. Imagine that this moment, that as we're worshiping, not just us, but everywhere across the globe that is worshiping him in spirit and in truth this morning. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ on this earth. What a privilege that we are his hands and feet. We are the body through which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. In other words, the way that God is going to speak to Waterlooville this morning, tomorrow, the day after that, the day after that, the way that God is going to act in Waterlooville is through the local church. It's through you sat in front of me and every other church in this community that we speak blessing over, that is preaching the message of the gospel. Every single one of us, we are the body of Christ. And not just when we're here this morning, but tomorrow morning in the workplace. Tomorrow morning when you're chatting to your neighbor. Tomorrow evening when you're on the bus. You are the body of Christ through which God wants to speak and act. The way that he will do that is through the local church. And so I want to speak in the time that I have left this morning about co-laboring with Christ and what he is looking to build in this area of Waterlooville for such a time as this. And to do that, we're going to look at a classic Old Testament builder called Nehemiah. Many of you will know the story of Nehemiah very well. Some of you, you've never heard the name Nehemiah. And we're going to be skimming the surface of his story together this morning. But first, let me give you a bit of background to what we're about to read. Because we're about to read something that took place in 446 BC, before Jesus. And at this moment where we're going to pick this up, Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king of Babylon. And we might think, well, to the king of Persia, sorry. And we might think, well, that's a bit of a strange job. What does that actually mean, a cupbearer? Essentially, amongst other things, he was a wine taster. And you may think, oh, I like that job. I like the sound of being a wine taster. But the reason he was the wine taster was that if it was poisoned, he would die and not the king. So all of a sudden, we're less keen on actually doing that job. That was his role in that place. He was in a relative place of comfort, even though that was his role. Nehemiah was a Jewish man. But we don't know if he'd ever been to Israel, because 100 years before what we're about to read this morning, there'd been an invasion by the Babylonians. They'd gone into Israel. They'd captured the Israelites. The Israelites were in this place of captivity. They'd broken the city. They'd torn it apart. And so 100 years after that invasion, Nehemiah is working for the king. And let's read together in Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. It says, "In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Things are not going well for those who have returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire.' When I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned, I fasted, and I prayed to the God of heaven." So here's Nehemiah. He's in Babylon, which is in captivity, but in his position, he's relatively in a place of comfort. And one day he hears how terrible things are still in Jerusalem. Hanani comes, he says, "There's still great trouble, there's still great disgrace, the walls have been torn down." And you might think, well, what's so big about that? The garden walls being knocked over, they can build it back up. These were the city walls that were huge and that were the form of defense against enemy nations. And so essentially he was saying, we are powerless against the attacks of the potential attacks of the enemies. And Nehemiah hears all this, and being a Jewish man, his heart is gripped and his heart is moved. He's in a place of comfort, but suddenly his life is ripped open as he goes from being ignorant about a need to suddenly having a burden about a need. Verse 4, he says, "When I heard this from Hanani, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned, I fasted, and I prayed to the God of heaven." Here's the journey we're tracking this morning. He goes from being ignorant of a need to hearing about a need, to having a burden for that need. Every single one of us, before we were saved, were walking ignorant of so many needs around us. We were head down, just going through life, building our own life and our own kingdom. But the day that I was saved, not only was I rescued from a life of slavery to sin and I got freedom from sin, but I also was handed a burden. You and I have a burden. That burden may be friends and family who don't yet know Jesus Christ. That burden may be broken families. That burden may be poverty. That burden may be the vulnerable. That burden may be the hurting and the lonely. That burden may be the rich who seemingly have it all, but if they don't have God, they have nothing. And I want us individually and corporately to begin to get a burden, because it's a burden that will move us to action. It's a burden that will cause us to co-labor with Jesus in what he is looking to build. I want us to get a burden for this town. Now, some of us in our comfort have never really thought about church this way. Nehemiah, as I said, was in a place of relative comfort. And for some people, the church has become their place of comfort, where they come along, they're inspired, and then they go back into their world. They turn up, sing a few songs. At best, they join in every now and then because they felt guilty. That is religion. That is dry and has a shelf life to it. Let me say this. It's also, I believe, unbiblical. Because Jesus didn't say stay. Jesus didn't say build comfortable church. Jesus didn't say have a little holy huddle. He said, go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and so on. We have to have a burden for this town. Amen. Now, what Nehemiah does as a result of his burden, the first thing he does is he prays. Chapter 1 records he spends time weeping, fasting, praying, interceding for this city. If you call Family Church Waterlooville home, I want us to get a burden. I want us to fall in love with this community, to celebrate its successes, but also to be burdened by any brokenness within this town that we meet together in. I don't want this to be just a venue that we turn up to and that's it. I want us to walk around and see the people around here and get a burden for those who are broken. And I want us to pray, because everything is founded in prayer. Amen? Everything is founded in prayer. We need to be praying for our community. We need to be praying for this church. We need to be praying for our leaders, because our prayers will make a difference. But Nehemiah didn't just pray. He prayed, and then he stepped forward. Chapter 2, Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem. He sees the city. It breaks his heart even further. He thinks something must be done. And so he gathers together the leaders of a Jewish nation, and he calls them together. And it says this, Nehemiah 2, let's look at verse 17. He says, "You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by the fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. Don't you just love the heart of the Jewish leaders? Let's rebuild the wall, reminiscent of Joshua and Caleb in Numbers chapter 13. We can do this, for our God is with us. And I want to ask us this morning, is there a yes in our heart to what God is looking to do in this area through Family Church? Because if there is a yes in our heart, and we've all stepped forward with our heart and with our action, then I want to thank you. I want to say good on you. If you haven't yet, I want to encourage you. Be a yes person to what God is looking to do. Be a person that says, together, surely we can do what God has on his heart to do in this area. So the people said yes to the godly vision that was on the heart of Nehemiah. You know, the journey of Family Church has always relied upon the yes of God's people. 27 years ago, this month, Pastors Andy and Gina said yes to the call of God that was in their life, that they stepped out of their comfort of what they were doing to step into what God had on his heart. 15 years ago, next month, Kirsty and I stepped out of our comfort, stepped out of, for me, a job, stepped out of the comfort of a Portsmouth congregation, the large congregation, and said, come on, yes, surely we can do what God has called us to do. We stepped out with a yes in our hearts, and the rest is history. 6 years ago, we sat in a curry house, because that's where we do all good God business stuff. We sat in a curry house with Pastors Chris and Sandy, and we said, is there a yes in your heart for what God wants to do in this area of Waterloo and beyond? They replied, yes, we can surely do this, for our God is with us. Is there a yes in our heart? So in Nehemiah chapter 2, the people say yes, they step forward. And then we come to the amazing, beautiful picture of Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. It says, then Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests started to rebuild at the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set up its doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of 100, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hananel. People from the town of Jericho worked next to them, and beyond them was Zuccar, son of Imri. The fish gate was built by the sons of Hasanah. Then they laid the beams, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. You get the ideas. All these people, all these families working shoulder to shoulder. This family built this section. This group of people built this other section. All these families, all these people. You see, it took all different types of people to rebuild the walls. And in what we read here, we see the power of team. In what we read here, we see the power of everyone contributing. Listen, God is needing a group of people in Waterlooville who can see the final vision of where he is taking us, of what he is wanting to do in this community, in this area, and are willing to bring their own gifts and skills and talents and resources to turn the vision into a reality. That's why every single one of you in this room, and every single person who couldn't make it this morning, who might be listening online later, every single person counts. See, in this, what we read in Nehemiah chapter 3, they weren't all builders, yet they put their hand to what God was calling them to do. They weren't all builders by trade, but they all stepped up and said, I want to do something for what God is wanting to do in rebuilding these walls. You know what that says to me in 2024? It gets rid of all my excuses. They could have said, oh, I'm not a builder by trade. I've never built a wall. That's okay, we can teach you. Those conversations must have been taking place Some may have got a supernatural download from heaven, maybe. But there must have been conversation. I don't know how to do it. I'll help you. That tells me in 2024, it removes all my excuses. I don't know how to run a sound desk. That's all right. We can learn. We can learn this together. I'm not the most outgoing person. That's all right. All we need from a hosting team member is a smile and a hello that can make a difference to somebody's first or 100th time that they've come to Family Church Waterlooville. Or my favorite, oh, but God, you haven't called me to do that. Now, we're reaching the territory where some may get offended by what I'm about to say, but that's the reality. This is a classic one. I haven't heard the call of God to do this or to do that. You know what I've learned pastoring for this time? Your call is the need. You look at a need, that's your call. That's all the call that you need. Sometimes we over-spiritualize things and we're waiting for God to come down with a realm of angels and come into our bedroom and a trumpet's playing, that's right, and it's all going on. And written on the wall, the angel with his finger writes, "Join a team!" Exclamation mark. Oh, the Lord's told me I must. Sometimes it's as simple as God's given us what we need. We look at a need and we say, that's my call. There's a need to build what God is looking to build. Okay, that's my call. That's all that I need. I don't need harps. I don't need any of that. I just need to see a need because I'm a spiritual person who responds to the call of God. I want to thank you because that's what I see when I walked in this morning. I see people who step forward and do what God has called them to do. But I want to encourage you, whatever you do and whatever in the future you're asked to do, do it with all your heart. Even if it means rebuilding the dung gate. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, what's that about? Let's look at that for a moment. Verse 14. In amongst all this list of people building areas, we read this. The dung gate was repaired by Malchijah, son of Rechab, the leader of the Beth Hakerem district. He rebuilt it, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and its bars. I love that they kept this in here. Because here is the man, Malchijah. What a great name. If you anyone having children soon, Malchijah. It's not in the top 100, but it should be back in there. Malchijah, because he would do whatever it takes. He's rebuilding the dung gate. You say, what's the dung gate? It's fairly obvious what the dung gate is. At worst, this is where all the feces of the city were kept, where they would end up. Because even though it was the Bible, people still had to do what they had to do, okay? At best, this is where all the litter, all the garbage, all the junk from the whole community would end up. In the original language, it's literally translated the gate of the garbage. Listen, for God to do what he needs to do in Waterlooville, it's going to need some people who aren't just in it for the glory moments, but are willing to do the unseen things, the jobs that don't get all the glory, the things that no one else is volunteering for. For some, it's going to mean getting up earlier on a Sunday morning and being here to be involved in setup, because otherwise a part of what God is looking to build in this community and beyond won't be done. The people stepped forward, and they're all building. Except one group. And this could be so easily overlooked, but I believe that it's significant. In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5, one day I was reading this, and this just so stood out for me. It says, next were the people from Tekoa, though their leaders refused to work with the construction supervisors. The New King James puts it this way, they did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. So you have all these people playing their part, doing their bit, and then you get to the leaders of Tekoa. Now, having pastored for 18 years now, and I know I don't look old enough, but having pastored for 18 years now, I've seen, sadly, a lot of these people. And you know what characterizes them? Two things. Pride and a lack of submission. Pride. These people thought the work was beneath them. Lack of submission. Literally, the idea in the Hebrew language is that they wouldn't submit. They would not bend their necks. They would not put their shoulders to what the Lord wanted them to do. I don't know. Maybe they thought they knew better. Maybe they thought that Nehemiah wasn't doing it right, all I know is that their legacy ended up being that here we are in 2024 in this small section of the world called Waterlooville, and we're still talking about this group of people whose names, their legacy was that they were the only ones in that huge list who didn't have the ability to say, yes, God, we'll do what you've called us to do. And here we are, thousands of years later, everybody else is celebrating what's happened apart from the leaders of Tekoa. Listen, I want to encourage you, don't let those things rob you of being part of what God wants to do through this community of faith. Pride, I'm not called to do that. Lack of submission, I'm not sure we should do it that way. My last church did it this way. Listen, when we roll up our sleeves and say, what is it, God, you need us to do? When we all step up, I'll do whatever, this, that, the other. Let me tell you, as a church planter, when it's when we serve this way that God begins to do amazing things. That's what Nehemiah saw, Nehemiah 6:15. So on October the 2nd, the wall was finished, just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work has been done with the help of our God. That's what we want people around this area to be saying. God is in this place. The God of Israel, the God of a new creation, the God is alive and he is real, because surely only this kind of stuff can happen because of the grace and the goodness of God. An amazing feat only made possible through the grace of God, but only realized because of a response of the people. Listen, for Family Church in Waterlooville to do all that God has called us to do, it needs you, not just the person next to you, behind you. It needs you, every single one of us. You have a part to play. And so I want to challenge us today to have a yes in our heart, to step forward and to serve the vision that God has for how he wants to use our church. Now, before I launch into the practical aspect of that, let me just take a moment to honor and to thank you, every single one of you who already in one way or another saying, God, I want to be a part in rebuilding the wall of brokenness that's here in Waterlooville. Because Nehemiah had a group of people who did this and did that and stood up and built. Family Church Waterlooville has people given of their talents, of their time, of their giftings, of their resource to God's house, and I want to honor you, and I want to thank you. And for others, as well as for that group, this message isn't, listen, my heart is, this is not a rebuke, this message is an inspiration, and an invitation, and an encouragement. It's time to step forward. But if we're in this holy huddle where we are being served, it's time to step forward from just being served to being somebody who is like Jesus. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Think of it this way. Whether it was this church or another church, there was somebody who served you so that you could come into relationship with Jesus. It's time for us to do our best with the gifts that God has given to us. Now, whenever we say that word gift in church, often we solely think of spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago in our Jesus Empowers series. And of course, that's a major part of it. But there's also giftings and talents that are natural, resources that are natural. The wall of Family Church Waterlooville needs all of our giftings, spiritual and natural as well. Romans 12:6-8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you a leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And we could add and add and add to that list if he had written more. In Nehemiah's rebuilding project, it took everyone playing their part to see the miracle come to pass. Amen? We need you to play your part, whatever that may look like. Now, for some of you, it may look like being a smiling welcome on the hosting team. that when people come into the house of God, you're just there, just say, hey, hello. And I want to commend you for that. Because last week, some of you will have seen that this guy just ran in, did some stuff with a laptop, and then ran out. That was Andy Little from the Family Church Havant congregation, and he came in just to help out with some stuff. But what I loved was afterwards when he came back, I said, how was Family Church Waterlooville? He said, when I walked in, they didn't have a clue who I was, and yet they welcomed me with an incredible welcome, saying, are you here for Family Church? I love that. So we're going to send some more secret shoppers. No, not really. But I love that. That was his pure response, that he came back excited at what God was doing in Family Church. We need more of you to step up and say, yeah, I'll do that as well. Whether it's doing that, whether it's being a helper in kids' church. For others, it's helping with pack down at the end. For some, and I want to highlight this one in particular, it's coming here earlier on a Sunday morning and saying, I want to be a part of setting this stuff up practically. Isn't it a joy when we walk in and this stuff is set up, but it doesn't just magically happen. Again, sometimes I think with church, we think that the angels appear and set up the sound and stuff like that. They do in the form of people. Okay, that's dodgy theology. Let's leave that there. You know what I'm trying to say. But we need people who just come and say practically, do you know what, when we're in that phase of at the beginning, it's all hands on deck. Stepping up and saying, yeah, I'll do this. What is it that I need? I need five or six people who will say, I'll be here. I know sometimes there's shift patterns and different things, but I'll be here as 8:30 and I'm going to set up and show me what I need to do. And again, I don't want to commend certain individuals because I'll get it wrong and I'll forget some, but I want to commend everybody who does that already. And if you can't, for whatever reason, I'm not looking at you and saying, why weren't you here? I'm talking about those who can. Come on, let's step up into what God is calling us to do. The response to this is not to look at what we can't do, but to focus on what we can do and to respond to what God is doing through Family Church Waterlooville in this moment. So the response to the message this morning is a very practical one in one sense, but actually when we start to walk out this practical outworking, it actually shows a very spiritual heart, because it's saying, I'll be somebody who knows what it is to serve the purpose of God in rebuilding the wall or building the wall that we have been called to build. And let me just say something. It will also transform your experience of church. It really will. This isn't, you know, I'm not trying to hoodwink you into it. Let me tell you, I walk with people who have been part of a church sometimes for years. And they say, oh, it's okay, Pastor, I'm kind of enjoying it. I like this and I like that, but I don't feel at home. And all of a sudden, when they join a team or they get involved, here's a couple of things that happen. They have the privilege and the joy of God using their life of service, but they also begin to get to know people at a deeper level than just, hey, hi, how are you doing? And those people become friendships that will sustain them and carry them through different moments of their walk with God. We are family, amen? We don't just pull it on the banners because it's a catchy thing. We are family, and we want to live that out where every single person brings what they are to the table. So here's what I want you to do. Very practical outworking. I want you to come to Pastors Chris and Sandy after the service, or others of you may need to ring up in the week and just say, what is it that I can help with? What is it that I can do? What part of a wall can I help build? What are you carrying right now that I can take from you so that you have less that you're trying to carry and do? Pretty easy, right? I mean, some homework, I wasn't very good with homework, but some I did, the bits that I did were the easy homework. This is easy application, easy homework. And as we do all of this, let me end with this. Let's always remember the why behind the what. If you walk with me for any amount of time, Sandy is in the office a lot, she hears me say this a lot, the why behind the what. See, you could leave today thinking, well, the message, what was the message about? It was just about what we have to do. We have to do this and we have to do that. And it's just what. Let's remember the why behind the what. The what is the practicality of serving. The why is what God is looking to do in this community. See, Nehemiah went to the land and he walked around and he, you know, it kind of glosses over it really in two verses or three verses that he goes and he surveys the land and he looks around. But can you imagine what was going on within him that would cause him to step forward and lead an army and say, come on, we can surely do this. Let's get rebuilding. For the people to respond to his passion, something must have broken within him in a good way. Something must have taken place where he walked around what he saw, and what he saw caused his burden to grow even more. And out of that came passion that led the people to step up. He shared the vision. People stepped up and said, we are here to co-labor with God. Listen, this morning as I encourage you to be sold out, and I say, God has big things in his heart for Waterlooville. Let's remember the why. This isn't about maintaining where we're at. This is about taking us into where God wants us next. This isn't about just having more people. This is about those people. Why do we do what we do? Why did I step out of what we were doing to pastor a church? Why did I do? Let me tell you, it wasn't for an easy life, okay? Just in case you're wondering. Why did we do what we do? Because, as the old song says, people need the Lord. That hasn't changed, whether it's 15 years ago or 2,000 years ago. People need the Lord. You know, while we've been here worshiping God, and I thank God for the worship this morning and all that's taken place, but while we've been here, there are people all around us who are broken. We need a burden for them. There are children who have woken up this morning having been sexually abused last night. That's the reality. And we can gloss over that, or we can realize, God, where are you in all of this? He's here. He's in you. He's positioned the church to step up and say, no, enough. Something has to change through our prayer, through our action, through being the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. There's single mothers who don't know which way to turn. There are grandparents who are in that moment of retirement, and yet they're looking at all of their life and they're thinking, surely there's more to life than this. Surely there's more to life than just what I've experienced. And they may be looking ahead and thinking, I don't have much longer in a natural sense. Surely there's more to life than this. People need the Lord. There's a drug addict who this morning is crying out, desperately wanting to be set free, but by this afternoon he'll be back to where he was this morning. People need the Lord. There's a wealthy businessman driving around. He parks up on his driveway. He's got the cars. He's been out for his morning walk with the dog. He's planning his next holiday. He's got everything that you could naturally want, but unless he has God, he has nothing, because every man has eternity set in his heart, and he needs the Lord, young and old, whoever it might be. And so when we talk about being practically involved, step away from the what and see the bigger picture of the why. They need Jesus. And the people in Waterlooville, one way or another, consciously or subconsciously this morning, are crying out, is there a God? His response is, yes, my body's on the earth. My body is on the earth. And yet so often the body sits around as a bless me club. That's not what I'm saying about you here. I'm just saying that my heart's been moved more and more that it's not good enough just to have a bless me club. People need God. And we can look to heaven and say, God, when are you going to move? He says, I've made my move. You're it. You are the body of Christ on this earth. And again, I want to encourage you, not just when we gather today, but tomorrow morning when you wake up with that understanding. I am the body of Christ on this earth. People need what I have. People need what you have. People need the Lord. Let's just pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just pray that this morning you would give us a burden. Father, grow a burden within us, that we wouldn't see church as a corporate thing. We wouldn't see church as an organization. We wouldn't see church as an event that we go to. We would see church as us being the body of you on this earth. And people need you. So as we speak, we represent you. As we act, we represent you. As we move, we represent you. And Lord, I pray that for each and every single one of us today, there would be a burden in our heart that grows, that translates sometimes to very practical things of being here and setting up on a Sunday morning, pulling chairs away, being in kids' church, being on the hosting team. It may outwork in such practical ways at times, but Lord, we would never just see the task. We would never see just the practicality of what we're doing. We would see the bigger picture that we are the body of Christ, and that as we serve, we give an opportunity for people to come and meet with you, and maybe for the first time want to come back into relationship with you. Lord, stir our hearts. Lord, may we not just be moved for a moment in this setting, but this week I pray that you would, Lord, I even pray you would interrupt sleep. Some people won't like that, but I pray you do, because you wake them up with a burden. I pray that people would switch off a radio when they're driving and they would just look around at the people around them. I pray that people would lift their head up from their shopping list when they're in a supermarket and just for a moment look at the people around them and realize that people need you, Jesus. That everything that we're building, so much of it isn't wrong, but it's extracurricular activity. The main thing, the main purpose is seeing your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To see people brought into your kingdom and transferred out of the dominion of darkness. Lord, I just speak life over your people today. Lord, I just speak just blessing, but Lord, I pray a burden to come upon individuals and as a community of faith, that we together would be burdened for the lost, be burdened for our future. Lord, I thank you that everywhere that we set our feet and Waterlooville is your territory. Lord, I thank you that in Asda right now, as people walking around, Lord, they're just lost. They don't know. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And Lord, I thank you that their heads would turn to you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that in the coming weeks and months and years, we are going to see many added to our number. Lord, as one sows and another waters, God, it's you who adds the increase. Lord, we know we don't want to be laboring in vain. Lord, we thank you that it's you who builds the house. Jesus, you are building your church, and the gates of hell, the dominion of darkness, the perversity of this world will not stop it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise this morning.